And so then he sent for two of his brothers. My grandfather was one of them, much younger than he. The older brother that came was a lawyer by profession. And so he sent for James, my uncle, and one named Patrick. And my grandfather went into the newspaper business right away. He published the Sentinel, and Rip Ford was quite a character in this area. Have you ever seen Rip Ford's memoirs?
I've heard of it.
I'll let you borrow my copy if you send it back to me.
I would like that.
Because you wonder how they lived here from 1858 to 1877.
I've heard it.
Because of the renegades and the carpetbaggers and the slaves and everything. It infested this country, you know, and the raids and everything, the cattle rustling. It's just remarkable how they lived. And then, of course, that they also had to cope with the yellow fever epidemic, you see. And Gargis, Colonel Gargis, who was a medical doctor at Fort Brown, he isolated the yellow fever mosquito in Fort Brown. He was the one. Later on, he joined Colonel Seibert, and they together built the Panama Canal, Colonel Gargis and Seibert. But he isolated down there. They'd die like flies with the yellow fever, you know. And my grandmother did a lot of welfare work and volunteer work, and she said many a time they sent them out in buttloads. See, they'd flood everywhere. There was nothing to stop the water. See, no levees, nothing. And they'd bring them out by boats to the cemeteries, and lots of times they'd bring them out. Some of them weren't near dead, you know. They didn't embalm anybody. And she said it was just the most horrible thing, you know. And it just died like flies. And finally they isolated it and found out what was wrong, and they could control it. But up until 82, they had terrible epidemics of yellow fever.
Well, you said your father was born in Edgefield, but then they came. How old was he, do you think, when the family moved to Comanche County?
2.5 years old.
So he lived in Texas almost all his life, and, mm-hmm. And they lived in Comanche until he was 21?
Mm-hmm.
And then they came down here. Do you know, did he ever have any education?
Yes, let me tell you, he was... when he was about 12 years old, he'd been to school some, but the father made him work, you know. The father didn't know anything about anything he had to do with the connection of land. He got two sections of land, and there were some neighbor farmers that were pretty substantial. They were from the Heroes of the Alamo. They were given to him. That was his incentive in coming to Texas, you see. And see, the South was ruined. 1877, the Reconstruction had just destroyed everything, practically. And a lot of them were migrating to Texas, of course, particularly those who had heroes in the Alamo. And so these people with whom he had lived and worked, they sent him to school some, I think maybe through the 5th or 6th grade. And he worked for them. And finally, when they found out the family was going to leave, and the old man, see, didn't tell these people who were in a position to have helped him that he was delinquent on taxes, and he lost the whole thing for lack of taxes. Just a poor businessman. Had he told these people, they could have saved it for him, see? But it was too late. And very poor businessman. Well, he never had it. He didn't have anything to do when he grew up. Grew up on a plantation with 400 slaves. He didn't have anything to do. And so... these people encouraged my father to come with them. So they're going to need your help. I just feel it. He said, I hope they don't go into Mexico, but see if you can persuade them not to. And so he came along. And I have an interesting little article that came out in the Brownsville Herald several years ago, and it said 100 years ago today or so and forth. It wasn't that far, but so many years ago today. It was in February of 1895. And it was telling about this caravan of families coming down by covered wagon, and they stopped at that hill up by Rio Grande City that has a cross on the hill. Did you see the cross?
No.